Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Ra flipped it back to J-Mo, and J-Mo takes it to the house.
More Ben Johnson jealousy, more envy towards playoff quality football, more Sean and Bobby with a Tolo Tuesday edition right here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Metroplex. Thank you for joining us as we head you into the new year. I'm Sean Sharif. Head you in, lead you in, guide you in. Whatever Bobby wants me to say that has better grammar. I'm Sean Sharif. He is know-it-all Bobby Belt.
Hey, it's important to have good grammar.
We got Peyton in the back. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And last night, that was a fun one. If you love offensive football, as the Detroit Lions, with a little bit of a gamble in terms of throwing the guys out there, that was Man Campbell, head first into San Francisco. They beat the 49ers 40-34.
And there's obviously nothing on the line for San Francisco at this point either. So this game really meant nothing. And yet it still felt like playoff football or so. Like it felt like, oh, these are two of the best teams in football that you were watching. And so it was really entertaining, but obviously ultimately means nothing. And
it felt like San Fran was going to win this game.
Yeah.
Like Brock Purdy was playing out of his mind. And it's like, all right, the 49ers are trying to head in next year with Jerry Jones-type momentum.
Yeah, and is that something now, though, coming out of this game where Purdy is, they're talking about a significant elbow injury again for Purdy. That's two of them now.
Oh, baby.
And do they just start, if there were already questions to begin with, are you like, do I want to pay somebody who's got significant arm issues already?
RJ has been right on this about the quarterback injury to the lower half. When Dak Prescott broke the leg against the New York Giants, we all said it won't matter. It should not matter. It will not matter. I don't know if we were exactly right about that, given Dak's movement and injury history today. But what Purdy's dealing with, Bobby, much more of a factor and a worry in his negotiation than Dak's injury with the leg, right?
Yeah, I would think so, because I mean, you're talking about not just an arm injury, but two really or elbow.
We're
injury.
Talking about a pitcher here.
Yeah, you're talking about two significant elbow injuries now. In all likelihood, we'll still wait for specifics on what this one is, but you're talking about two significant elbow injuries in what is this now 3 years or whatever that was. And if you're already stacking up arm injuries, that's generally not going to get better, I would think. And so I don't know what this is. When we talk about the velocity and the spin rate and everything in baseball, like, is there something Purdy's doing mechanically that is just not good for him? And it is stressing things to where if he gets hit or something else, because I know the first one was he hit in Philadelphia. I think he hit a helmet with his elbow or something. But is he doing something that's weakened and he's having issues with it? But if you're San Francisco, now you got to start saying, like, all right, is this what we want to invest in if his arm's going to fall off?
With Kirk Cousins out there and available.
Aaron Rodgers out there
and available. Rodgers.
Who grew up a massive 49ers fan, as we just saw in that documentary.
Had a Tolo tweet me yesterday and said, so should I be rooting for San Francisco to win here to get the worst draft pick over the Cowboys? My answer back was yes. They have Arizona in the final week as well. They could lose that game. Instead, with San Francisco losing, they are currently picking at 11, then the Colts at 12, and the Cowboys at 13. So I would have preferred for San Francisco to go ahead and win that game for team tank purposes. It's not like you should have any love for the Lions. I know the Cowboys and the Joneses want you to forget everything, and some fans, some diehard homers, want you to forget what happened against the Saints, what happened against the Ravens. The most embarrassing loss of the season was Detroit. Detroit embarrassed you, and they tried to embarrass you. What's on Jerry's point? Birthday. That was the game before the famous interview that took place on this show. Jerry Jones, once again, at 8:30 this morning. But it's not like rooting for San Fran means that you have to love the Lions. No, Detroit winning also makes their magical season even better because Dan Campbell got away with playing all the starters last night. That would have been a fourth down microcosm of like Dan Campbell's decision making. What'd you do that for? You're reckless. And now you sat there and got your kicker hurt. Now you got Jahmyr Gibbs hurt. Things that could have taken place. But no, I would have preferred San Fran. I'm in team tank mode. I want to pick in front of San Fran. Now, some Cowboy fans followed up and said, well, it will also mean that you face Arizona instead of the 49ers clinching a last place schedule in California. You are right about that. The opponents for San Fran next year, keep this in mind when you consider a bounce back. The Giants, the Browns, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Indy. What you're getting is the AFC South. Ooh. The Saints, the Panthers, Bobby, and the Bears. Those are eight bums. Absolute bums. By the way, yeah, maybe you're happy you get to dodge San Fran for a game. Well, Nick Eatman will be the first one to tell you Arizona owns you as well with these weird matchups against Kyler Murray. But if I'm a 49er fan, I'm already looking at that schedule and I'm salivating.
Yeah, which if you're a Cowboys fan and you're looking at your schedule next year, you get the AFC West and the NFC North. So you get the Bears, you get the Lions, Vikings, and Packers. You get the Chiefs, Chargers, and Broncos next year too. Next year's going to be fun.
Is that locked in?
Yeah, that's locked in. That for sure is going to happen. And right now, they're third in their division, Dallas is. So right now, they would face New Orleans and Arizona, like you mentioned. And if for some reason San Francisco were to go above Arizona here in the final week, then you might be lined up with a bounce-back San Francisco team.
The other thing I tweeted last night, and some, you know, didn't exactly get what I was talking about. I said the quality of play. Yesterday on the show, I said this time of year is always should be a sobering reminder of how far the Cowboys really are away from being a Super Bowl contender. And I'm like, just watching this game back and forth, like high level stars and playmakers just doing work. Now, not a lot of defense, but that was a back and forth heavyweight fight. Of course, I got Tolo, Chris Jones, and some others saying, well, are you talking about a 6-9 team? Well, whoop de freaking do. They have a worse record than the Cowboys, and they have less significant injuries. I'm just talking about the quality of play. The San Francisco is, can the Cowboys participate in that type of slugfest that we are about to see in the playoffs moving forward? The answer to me from a consistency standpoint is no. And that is how you need to judge the next moves that are going to be made. Not, oh my God, 7-9. 7-9 with Cooper Rush? That's outstanding. 8-9, 7-10, nice job, Mike. No, look at it from the other way and say, with the teams that are about to play, can we beat them and beat enough of them to advance to the Super Bowl? That's the end of the spectrum to view things on.
Yeah, I think...
I'm not trying to say San Fran is, you know, definitely a better team. Just the way that they were playing last night, showing what they're capable of, many people would probably say, if I asked people around the country and fans that are listening in the Odyssey app, which year is more of a fluke? Is it this Cowboys season or 49ers season? What would the answer to that be?
49ers, I think, is what it would be. But, I mean, some people believe that
that's tricky because you don't have your starting quarterback.
Yeah, and it's possible some people look at San Francisco as just being, well, no, this is the beginning of a toxic decline because they've screwed up their culture. So,
and they're going to pay the quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you look at, to me, I think when you look at the games that San Francisco's lost this year, they should have won, like, most of these games. Or not most of them, but a lot of these games they should have lost. There's, like, four games on their schedule they should have won. That they blow at the very end, which that's, I'm not saying that makes them good. I'm just saying that's different than what Dallas ran into, where they were getting blown out of the water several different times this year. It's a different thing. Look at, we talk about point differential. One of the other things that's important to look at is touchdown differential. And just how often are you scoring touchdowns more than your opponent? These are the worst teams in the NFL in touchdown differential. The Raiders, minus 15. The Giants, minus 16. The Patriots, minus 17.
Meaning they've scored 17 less touchdowns.
Yes. And then tied for second to last. It is the Cleveland Browns, the Tennessee Titans, and the Dallas Cowboys at minus 20. And then it is Carolina at minus 22. So you are only better than Carolina in the NFL in terms of your touchdown differential.
And the 49ers are?
Minus 5. And their point differential is minus 24. They've been playing roughly even. They blow games late. That's been a big problem. Remember, that was the big narrative early in the season. They got blown out by Minnesota, but early in the year, they had like four games that they lost, it felt like, in the last 2 minutes. And so, again, that doesn't make them a good team, but it tells me their margins are smaller than where yours are at. You are getting throttled in a lot of these games.
Tolo TR. Passing along this note from Florio, the Lions have 5 games this season with 40 points and 0 turnovers, a first in NFL history. And man, you saw more of that. I know we don't want to just simulate Madden video game, except the Jets. They want to simulate Madden.
Yeah.
But the amount of trick plays and creativity and ingenuity on display again last night with that sick hook and ladder touchdown to Jameson Williams.
It does tell me, like when you were saying, I'm not saying you have to root for the Jets or for the Lions. I'm not, you know, I know some people don't want to do that. I think there are a lot of Cowboys fans who want to root for the Lions right now because they love what they represent relative to the Cowboys and what
I know
the Cowboys,
Choppy does.
Yeah, and what the Cowboys refuse to do. I think they want, look, see, Ben Johnson's good. Dan Campbell's good. You should have hired a coach like this. Like, I think there are a lot of fans who actually want to see them succeed as here's the model, here's what you screwed up, and be more like them. This is the standard. For so long, I mean, for the last 4 years, it was, why can't you be more like San Francisco? You know, it's like the whole thing when you're a kid. Or why can't you be more like Tommy?
Yeah.
Or something like that. It was always San Francisco with Cowboys fans. Now it's feeling like, why can't you be more like the Lions? They have a bunch of injuries. They keep winning. They've got all these different situations. Why can't you do that?
No Luka, no Kyrie, no Clay. Did the Mavs have no chance?
Scramble for the ball. Keegan comes up with it. Malik in transition. Going up. Connection.
Kings Radio with the call as interim coach Doug Christie. I always got to put my hand up for Doug Christie.
For Jackie.
The all-time whipped move. The all-time whip move that Doug Christie had to put up the hand to wave to the wife in the crowd. I believe she's on one of those reality shows that my wife watches. I think she's still on Basketball Wives. But the Mavericks were up 18 in this game in the first quarter. They were up 18. And they end up losing to the Kings 110-100.
Yeah, this is, look, Spencer Dinwiddie filled it up. You know, PJ Washington was playing well for a lot of this game, but
30 and 28 between them.
I expect them to lose a game where all three of those guys are missing. I don't care. I don't care who they're playing. And the Kings are not very good.
And no Najee.
But no Najee. I expect them to lose those games. But, I mean, especially when you're talking about the team on the other side's got a player like De'Aaron Fox who can fill it up, who can take over. That's something that I would normally expect. But Doug Christie, that's fun. That is an original villain here in Dallas. I don't know nationally how much that got talked about, because you would have been in college, I think, when he was here for a 2 week stretch. He was Lamar Odom like here.
I have no recollection.
Oh my gosh, he was here for 2 weeks. Cuban thought he was a massive pain in the ass. His wife was insane, and they like cut him like after 10 games. And
really?
he had been their big offseason signing.
And Brandon Malone calling the Kings classless the other day. No balls in the way that they got rid of Mike Brown.
And De'Aaron Fox is getting a lot of heat from people right now for, like, you kind of did him sleazy. That they were saying that he's kind of underhanded and operated in a little bit of a LeBron sort of way. He actually responded to it. He said, there was never any pushback about anything. This narrative of us butting heads or me going to management saying anything is BS, so you can run with that if you want to.
Well, look. In terms of, like, Sacramento has been really disappointing the past year and a half. They were one of these teams that had emerged as a top 5 contender in the West. You had last season and now right now 14 and 19 with the losing streak that they were on. So something was wrong there in Sacramento given the trajectory that they were on.
Are they still lighting the beam? That was a big thing for them a couple years ago.
Well, don't we have one Tolo in Sacramento who will text us here soon?
Boy, he was always making sure we knew about it. And to be fair, we had to give him his props at the end of the year and say, all right, you're right. They were competitive. But, man, it has slidden back significantly. That Marvin Bagley over Luka thing is still something that gets them crushed.
Vlade. Oh, Vlade. Mavs are 4th in the West. They're a half a game up on the Clippers, 1 game up on Denver, and the LA Lakers, a game and a half behind the Rockets. 1, 2, 3 in the West. 1, OKC, no surprise. Memphis 2, Houston 3. But Sacramento was in that Memphis discussion and category for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Memphis has bounced back. Sacramento has declined.
Yeah, and Houston is starting to put things together the way people felt like, okay, you've built this really nice young core. You could be a new Oklahoma City soon.
How did Stephen Jones tick off Cowboy fans yesterday on this radio station? And does Mike McCarthy actually want to come back here for this job? Why didn't Mike answer it yesterday? We go inside the Star with Sean and Bobby after this. Excellent job. Oh. Excellent job. Good morning, Chris Arnold. I'm Sean Sharif. We got Pepe firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. This is DFW Sports Station and your home of the Dallas Cowboys. The show in review on New Year's Eve. Part one coming up at 6:40 as Bobby has put in all the legwork to relive all the hilarity and the embarrassment of the morning show. 6:40, Jerry Jones live at 8:30 here on 105.3 The Fan. Nice job by the Cowboys media yesterday. I'm very jealous. They stole my big question I was planning for Friday in asking Mike McCarthy at 6:30 on this program, Coach, do you actually... Well, it is amazing how this narrative and storyline is flipped. It's mind-blowing, really. It shows the power of the media and how people can be influenced, really. Mm-hmm. We have gone from Mike McCarthy, total lack of inspiration and excitement after you brought him back after the Packers loss, to dead man walking. Then I think it really started with Jerry Jones on this show being asked, is it crazy that Mike would come back? And he goes, no, it's not crazy. Then you get all the players supporting and different broadcasters. Then you get the rumors of the Saints and the Jets and other teams maybe being interested in talking to McCarthy. And now it has gone all the way to asking Mike. And I respect and love the question. Smart question. But now we've gotten to the point of asking whether Mike would take us back. Mind-blowing.
It's
incredible.
This is what happens when you get a good media campaign. And he's used it effectively before.
What has he done effective with the media campaign before the agent put it out there that the other teams were interested?
He got a job in Dallas. I mean, that media campaign, he was considered untouchable after Aaron Rodgers drove him off in Green Bay. And the reflective period where he got a long form piece done with Peter King and then another one with Tom Pelissero talking about all the work he had done, that absolutely, I think, got him back in the coaching circuit. And so he's used it effectively before.
But I meant in contributing to this recent run of Mike coming back. Did he do anything else PR-wise?
No, I don't think so. More just he's used it effectively throughout his career. Not so much right now. This is just, again, my sense of it is, or my gut feeling, I guess, is that you're starting to hear this because I think he's just been concerned about, I want to be back. I think that he gets a sense he's back now. So now he's trying to leverage. He wants the play calling. And so he's trying to find leverage points.
Well, McCarthy yesterday addressed it, but didn't answer whether he wants to still be the Cowboys coach.
Well, I think the biggest thing, Todd, is, and I do appreciate you the opportunity to speak on it, but you know, I've answered this question the same forever, how many months now. So I think the focus, you know, I need to make sure I'm doing exactly what I'm asking everybody else to do. So we need to finish the race. It's been a challenging year based on our contract situation for the coaches. I mean, stating the obvious, but, you know, we'll have time to talk about that next week.
Number one, perfect team PR answer. Hey, I don't want other guys to be focused on their stuff. We're a team. We're a collective unit. Let's finish the job, and then we'll go ahead and address our own situations. That's number one. But my first question, Bobby, in listening and reading this was, why didn't Mike just say, yes, of course, I'd love to be back? Do you think that speaks to your leverage point of creating some fear in the front office, some fear to the Joneses of, I just want you to be on your tiptoes here just to know I have options too? Or was it just, I got to answer this as a team first person? Why not just be like, because It wouldn't have been harmful or selfish to say, well, look, of course, like, I love it here. I love these guys. I love the city. My family loves it here. Like, of course, I would want to continue to be the Cowboys coach. Why not just answer it that way?
I think he's taking, I think he has seen from his own players what suggesting, yeah, you know, whatever the future holds, maybe that's not here. I think he's seen what that's done in negotiations for them. And if he's just now, all right, I'm past the idea of, Do I have the opportunity to come back? Yes, that's on the table. Now I know that that's it. Maybe I wouldn't have made this play and jeopardized things if I'm just trying to make sure I have a job. But if I know I've got a job and I want it on my terms, well, now I'll be a little more free with, okay, I can more comfortably toss out a threat here because I'm not in a position necessarily to toss out a threat before because they don't even know if they want me back. And so I do think that this coming out the time that it did is a decent indicator that he feels, at least, even if it hasn't been said to him or anything else, he at least feels like he's going to be coming back and that they want him back. But it
sounded like he was happy that Archer asked the question too.
Which he is. That was the thing that was funny. I don't think he has ever appreciated the chance to speak on his job status. I don't think he has ever met the question that way. Chef's kiss. Great job. Very coordinated media campaign here. Honestly, he's doing a good job.
Yes.
Playing the game. He's needed to play the game more during his 5 years here in Dallas, and he doesn't. And so I respect it, but I mean, this definitely feels like part of the game. It doesn't feel like any sort of genuine question, but I mean, Jerry plays the game pretty well too. So I'll be interested to see how he answers it at 8:30 today.
Stephen Jones yesterday making a lot of headlines on the KMC Masterpiece. It was Will Chambers and Mike Bassick in for Kevin and Corey. And Stephen touched on McCarthy's performance.
I think Mike's done a great job considering the challenges that we've had. And Mike Zimmer the same way. I mean, it's been a new group out there, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's a combination of cornerbacks, whether it's the D-line. Different group of receivers moving in and out of there. I think Mike's done a good job of getting the guys prepared. You know, again, I thought we started off the game against Philly, and really strong. We were moving the ball, sustaining drives, and, doing a good job on the defensive side of the ball as well, containing Barkley. Hats off, by the way, to Saquon. I mean, what a year he's had. It's rare that you see that happen. You know, back going for 2,000 yards, and certainly he's had a hell of a year. So hats off to him. But I thought early on we played well, and then as I said, we just we made too many mistakes to beat a really good football team.
What does Steven think of the multiple reports? Adam Schefter, Jay Glazer, who when Glazer goes out to practice in California, heads right on up to that booth upstairs, the tower, to watch practice with the Joneses. What does Steven think of the insider reporting that other teams are interested in Mike?
It doesn't surprise me a bit. I mean, Mike's an established head coach in this league. He's won Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl championship. He's been to multiple championship games. Obviously we had a tough start with the COVID year that everybody was trying to get their hands around, and followed that up with 3-12. Win seasons, and then of course we've had this year, but this year's been a challenge for the obvious reasons with injuries. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me a bit. I mean, Mike's an established coach in this league who consistently has success, and unfortunately we've just had a tough year this year, but it doesn't surprise me a bit there'd be interest in Mike McCarthy.
Does it play a role in anything on determining whether or not you would like to bring him back?
Like you said, we'll address all this after the Commanders game.
I my impression, my takeaway from that answer is, and I might be overthinking this. You might be telling me in a sec that I'm overthinking this, but they're so good in general, the Joneses, at knowing how to choose what they want to say. Do you think that was a total stumble? If McCarthy's trying to leverage them a little bit, do you think it's a total stumble at all for Steven to start saying, he's won Super Bowls, a Super Bowl?
What are you trying to look into that?
Just slightly poking at the, you were supposed to have a lot of success. Super Bowls? A Super Bowl.
No, I think that's a Bobby Orr.
I think it probably is, but but it still made me laugh that he had to correct it.
Let me nerd out for a second.
Okay.
This is a really nerdy broadcasting thing that just popped into my head. How do you play this if you're Glazer? Jay Glazer's tight with the front office here. Jay Glazer's tight with McCarthy. They all exchange information for favors, right? That's what Florio accused, Adam Schefter of. So Glazer, we think, does McCarthy the favor of putting out the report that the other teams are interested. What happens when Steven calls Jay and says, all right, what's the deal? What does Jay say to Steven if he's trying to do the favor for Mike? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get what you mean.
Because like,
where does your loyalty lie?
Where does your loyalty lie?
I think you probably give morsels to both, but you don't give them the full picture. A lot of times I think that...
So you be Glazer, I'll be Steven. Okay. Hey, I saw this report.
Okay, go ahead.
Get up off your knees. The first time I've ever said that. Get off your knees. Don't be Jay Glazer right there.
I had to cut my height in half.
Hey, what's really good? What's the real interest here? You doing the agent? You doing Mike and the agent a favor?
I mean, I don't know what Mike thinks. I know there are people around the league who want to talk to him, though. You know, and so, I mean, I'm sure Mike would, at the very least, just as a courtesy, Mike might talk to him. He just doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to disrespect him. But yeah, there are teams who are interested in him.
Okay, because now you're creating a little unwelcome urgency for me. You're putting me on pins and needles a little bit here and thinking that there's a threat. So I just want you to know that that's the way I'm feeling based off your report and this conversation.
Yeah, I don't know about Mike specifically. You know, he's obviously locked in with the season right now. We've talked a little bit, but he's kind of shut all that down. But yeah, I mean, there are teams who at the very least would be interested in him.
Okay. Okay.
I want them to name.
You're
going to
be
teams,
watching practice down there on the side. What do you mean? He just named the teams. He named New Orleans. He named.
As like they pointed, the way those teams have been referenced, they've been references. Here are teams with openings where he was interviewed with the Jets last time and he used to work in New Orleans. Maybe those would make sense. It was said like that, but nobody has actually said this team is interested in talking to him.
When and do the other teams refute the report for their fan base purposes? If I'm a Saints fan, right, if I feel like it's an uninspiring hire, if I'm a Jets fan, I'm on Reddit, I'm on the Ask Reddit Today 740, I'm on message boards and I'm going crazy saying, are you a stupid front office? Are you dumb? Bring in someone new, bring in someone fresh, bring in someone young. I wonder if any of those teams leak to a reporter. There's no truth to that. What do you think about that?
I mean, I don't know how Brick Johnson feels about Mike McCarthy. If young Brick likes him, then I mean, look.
Do they have legends mode on Madden that he could play with the Aaron Rodgers Packers and be like, Dad,
yeah,
Dad, this is it.
The Jets did just interview Ron Rivera yesterday. They might not have an issue with that. Maybe they want somebody who's been around the block a little bit.
They want to fulfill the Rooney Rule.
I mean, there is that too. They did interview McCarthy last time around, and so it's totally possible that he could be in the mix there again. But
I love breaking this stuff down.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think a team would outright refute.
You think there's you don't think they would outright refute it?
No. Even if it wasn't true necessarily, I think a lot of teams recognize it's the game. Yeah, it's the game where like they're trying to leverage a position where people do it to the Cowboys all the time. Talk about, there's interest there. Oh, and the Cowboys don't bother to shoot it down. They're just like, all right, they're trying to get their money.
It is about to be 2025, and a lot of people and a lot of shows are going to do their look back and review. RJ wanted early access to this yesterday on the group messages. The highs, the lows, and everything in between of the morning show, the 2024 blooper reel, part one, next on Sean and Bobby, 105.3 The Fan. Peyton adding one to the blooper reel already. Good morning, Metroplex, and good morning to the 6 a.m. Club. I'm Sean Sharif, alongside Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt. Choppy will be back on Thursday after the New Year's Day celebration. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. That's what Tolo stands for, and Bobby Belt has done all... A lot of people ask me, my wife mainly, why? Why do you put up with him? Why do you like him? What is it? I don't get it.
Amanda gets it now. She gets it. She knows I'm funny. I can tell. She
did you guys bond on the Alba limo party bus?
No, not so much that. She's disputed me being funny in the past, and it devastated me. But I've seen that, like, over recent times, like, she does think I'm funny. So I've won that one in the long
run. Bobby does all the little things. He does all the extra homework. The depriving of his family is a benefit to me. His wife and children lose, I win, because he goes and does all this extra homework, which I appreciate, and that includes the audio year in review.
Yep, let's take a look back. 2024 is coming to an end. Are you feeling the older you get that it does? Like everybody says, they're like, oh, it'll just the older you get, the faster it goes by. Like, it's just
no. All I've been thinking about lately in terms of a timeline and time span is this is the longest Dallas Cowboys season that I can ever remember.
Oh man, I feel like it went fast.
Oh no. Oh no. I went back and like last night I just like went back and I was like, all right, did they play San Fran? I have forgotten. So I heard someone say yesterday, the Cleveland game feels like 2 or 3 years ago. To me it does. It has been insanely long and insanely exhausting.
Yeah.
Think the Cleveland game, like the Pittsburgh game, feels like forever ago.
I feel like it was just yesterday. I was sitting in that rain delay and then rolling in here at 5 a.m. and still coming on the air to talk, not having to take off just because I worked the night game the night before.
All right.
No, I'm just playing. All right. You know, we just talked a little bit. Let's lead off with this clip. We talked last segment.
This is all
bit.
From this year.
Yes, this is all from 2024. We talked about McCarthy playing the game a little bit. And I believe an instance of McCarthy playing the game a little bit is what led to the very first audio clip we have here, which is a drop that Peyton has loved to hit this year that listeners may not know the story behind.
Our fan studios secured by DFWsecurity.com. This is Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan.
Play the highlight!
Smaller double team this time.
You got to start off with me sounding like an ass.
It was January. It's just, no, when I was looking back through stuff, I was like, oh, I forgot. That's such a funny clip because we were in the middle of arguing during the break, and it came up yesterday, actually, because you were saying it's the angriest I've ever seen Bobby. It was with Will, or the maddest I've ever been at Bobby. And I said, no, I think earlier this year, when I didn't ask the question, I didn't ask any questions of McCarthy after the first two, was the anger. So the context behind this was we were interviewing McCarthy, and I believe, and I think Sean's come around to this, I don't know that he thought it at the time, I believe that McCarthy's got a pretty heavy awareness of what's being said and who's talking to him.
Yeah.
And so that week, I had asked two questions, and I got very short answers. I was like, okay. This interview will not go well if I ask more questions. Like, we're just not going to get as much out of him. So I had just, all right, let me bow out, and I'm going to stay out. But Sean thought I was just taking my ball and going home. And so then when we get to the break, Sean's like, you can't just hang us out to dry like that. Like, I need other questions in here. You can't just walk away from it. And so we're in the middle of, like, talking about that. We come back, and that's when you get play the highlight.
Play the highlight!
The thing that was funny was Sean didn't realize until we got to the break. I actually think it was within the segment. You then realized, oh, I actually never called for the highlight. That's why Peyton wasn't playing anything. And so then you were like, sorry, my bad. I was distracted, yelling at Bobby because he was being a jackass. But that was my favorite. Now,
play the highlight. Peyton, did you expect worse, better, just about working with me based upon what you had heard, or, you know, more blow-ups, more tantrums, more anger?
Maybe more blow-ups, but I mean, I knew that, look, if I don't F up, the job's easy. But if I screw up, you know, it gets difficult at times. You know, you expect perfection, and so I expect perfection out of me and everyone else here. So, you know, if I screw up and I get yelled at, then it's on me.
Well, let's talk about Sean's most perfect ad read this year. And it came back in April when Sean was doing a live read for...
You're supposed to kick Choppy.
Hurtado Barbecue.
Here. Not me.
And it got a little sus.
The Miho Platter. $24 a person. Your choice of two meats and two sides. How about the poppy? Well, Bobby calls me sometimes. $28 per person. Your choice of three meats and two sides. Don't get grossed out, Bob. I'm just joking. Or the Jefe. Maybe he calls me that. $32 a person. Your choice of four meats and two sides. Where are you going to get that deal? Briskets, spare ribs, pulled pork, sausage.
I got to know, after the poppy,
yeah,
why'd you go back to the well with the jefe then and say, maybe he calls me that?
I think sometimes when you like know that you messed up, you try to fix it and cover it up. Like, oh, let's just make it a bigger joke.
About the poppy.
And it was just more awkward.
It was funny. Because it did. That's why
it
you
was
said.
Very sus.
You said, don't get grossed out, Bob, because I definitely raised an eyebrow. Now.
Then the sausages.
I think sometimes. Yeah, exactly. I think sometimes people think when you've stepped into one or you've walked into something, people are like, oh, Sean didn't even see it there. But in reality, there's a wink and a big grin on your face when you're saying something. And I think that was this example. Another little bit of a sus clip.
Why are we doing this again on me?
This is the last one. This is the last one for you. And then we're going to move over. This is Sean talking about how much I can drink.
Does Rogers call it? How many fingers, knuckles? Right, yeah. Oh. I mean, knuckles did you take? Fingers did you take?
Yeah.
How many are you how many are you taking down? Are you taking down two fingers, three fingers?
I don't judge it by fingers. I don't ask myself how many fingers am I taking. Yeah, I instead
like this, three fingers like this or four fingers?
Yeah, probably.
That's what they say.
It is. It really
that's
is.
What it is.
It really
is.
Yeah.
Well, how many do you think he takes?
Bobby?
Yeah. Oh,
Bobby.
Was this before Bobby, or after I drank?
Bobby easily can handle three fingers.
Okay, so a three
after,
finger pour.
After I've had two fingers. After I've drank the
so two. You probably take two, three fingers.
I don't know. It's probably like, so when I take one of those.
You take three and three.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, typically. I think at the time people thought you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
You knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
But it is still, that's probably my favorite clip there. Outside of maybe one we'll play soon, which is Broadus's impersonation of you when he was at training camp. That one's probably my favorite. Let's go over to RJ Choppy. And RJ Choppy, the man who embraces toxic masculinity.
Yes.
And how much he loves it.
Except in his own household.
Man, and he, I think, really did long-term damage back in June when we were at the Allen Fire Station. And he was like, yeah, I'll do the breakdown the door test. And he came across looking rather weak.
We've got this steel door, and there is maybe a half by quarter into the door to prevent it from just being able to be broken down. All right, he's being instructed. He's trying. Oh!
Ooh,
did not that? Break the wood. He bit his tongue. They're literally just asking him to hold something steady at this point. They're telling him to push this thing, and he can't do a damn thing.
Before soda, this would have been the hat already.
Oh.
I had 30 more pounds, but now I don't.
Is there a... Oh, now he's trying to kick it. They have cracked the door open even more for him every day. Oh, we might have gotten some breakage. It's like... EF2 intensity, what he's done to the wood. He wasn't swinging and hitting anything. He was holding something. Oh, there we go.
Hey.
He has broken through the door. Congrats.
And everyone has died.
Here. Everyone has died in the process. Here, Chop, would you like to say any words?
I need cardio.
And he was massively emasculated. We went to break. No joke, no sarcasm. When we were walking back, he was like, that door was really... Like, it's really difficult, though. And I was like, sure, child. It's like, dude, they have firefighters do it. It's part of their training. Like clearly that's something that's not just easy for everyone. And he was like, really,
yeah.
It really got to him, I think, that he wasn't able to do it. So it ate him up. Let's make fun of Peyton. RJ Choppy is a lifelong Catholic, as we're aware. And one of these times that we were playing...
He's a three-quarters long Catholic.
Sure, yeah. I mean,
he's hit the eject button.
He's a lapsed Catholic, maybe. But either way, Catholicism has been in his life. And so the Pope has been in his life the entire way. And we were playing How Young is Peyton Russell back in May. And we should play that this week, too. We should play that Friday. I've got some more names to throw at him.
I'm all Friday. But...
Well, you're going to call in for it, then. This is RJ Choppy just losing his mind, his Catholic mind, when we were playing How Young is Peyton Russell?
Crime, politics, or miscellaneous for the 70s, Peyton?
Let's go back to miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous it is. Peyton Russell. Who's John Paul II?
Catholic guy. Catholic guy to church. John That's Paul. That's the name of a
I'll
church.
Give it to him.
That's the name of a church.
I'll give it to him. I don't think he really
hang
knows.
Hang on, with the judges, will we accept that?
Whoa, under review?
I'm going.
Could you be a little more specific?
Is who, is, who is like,
hey, Pope? Double it. Catholic guy.
$5 in the bank for Peyton Russell.
Count it in the foul.
And the foul. You're like Luca. And one.
Oh,
give it to me.
Oh, my God. Catholic guy.
As he's frantically Googling in that time period.
I did not get a chance to show you. I need to show you the how young is Peyton Russell from last week. Which, by the way, Babe Laufenberg was listening after his segment and was so blown away by the game that then he went to Cowboys practice. And when he walked in the building, he was telling Christy about it. And then he pulled Bront over from Cowboys PR.
Oh, no.
And he started hitting Bront with all the names we threw at Peyton. And he said Bront didn't know any of them either.
No! You're going to out Bront like that? Oh, we like
Alex,
Bront.
Alex yeah. was worse. Alex was insane. And that's what I need to play for you when we get to the break. All right. We can fit in one more here. Everybody remembers one Reginald Atatula. And he was sitting in on Crosstalk one of these days. And we had played How Young is Peyton Russell recently. And this was on May 30th. And we were like, well, let's throw some of these at Reggie. Surely Reggie will know these. Reggie's a pretty cultured individual. Well, this is Reggie specifically discovering Kirby Puckett is a black man.
Oh, no.
Who's Kirby Puckett?
Kirby Puckett.
Come on.
Kirby Puckett was a quarterback.
Oh, no.
Pitcher.
Damn. Nope, none of those.
Are you doing a bit right now?
No, I legitimately
am. Oh, my Lord.
Go look up Kirby Puckett. Go look up Kirby Puckett highlight catches.
Played for the Twins. Dude, involved in one of the most iconic World Series of all
outfield.
Time.
Rest in peace, Kirby Puckett, by the way.
Good job. What have you found out about him?
That he does not look like what I anticipated.
Nope. 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 Yeah. He could get up that wall, too.
That's one of my favorite players, Kirby Puckett, now.
He became a big fan with one Google image search.
That was awesome. Part one, Bobby's year in audio review of the morning show. Happy 2024 and 25 to the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. Are we all getting a look at the Cowboys' brand new running back tonight? We got a bowl game and the college football kegger next on 105.3 The Fan.